Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the worst things that can befall us is indifference. The difference to the things of God, the difference to eternal torment, the difference towards ourselves being led towards God. And this happens to us because we fall away from our Lord and because our conscience becomes very weak. Our conscience becomes weak when we do not face it, when we do not confess, when we do not wish to face ourselves, to enter into ourselves, to look at what we have and to try to expel that which is not comely and that which it does not behoove us to be like. That's why last week we heard the gospel reading concerning the demoniac, which could only be expelled by prayer and fasting. And our Lord has deemed us worthy to come close to the end of these 40 days, now having heard and having prepared ourselves, having heard the teachings of the church, through the services of the church, through the gospel readings, and through the appointed Sundays leading up to this point, starting with the Triodion, and then the subsequent Sundays during Great Lent. We started off with the teaching of how we should pray, that we should not be high-minded, that we should pray with repentance and humility, looking towards the earth from whence we were taken. Now we end this last Sunday, because this is really the last Sunday of Great Lent, of the 40-day fast, with an example of one who turned away from evil, who seeked and pursued to do good, to be cleansed of all filth. And so, during this period, particularly we know in the monastery that we fast extra strictly, but not like the ancient fathers, and certainly not like St. Mary of Egypt. We try to expel the demons which try to nest themselves within us. Without fasting and prayer, the demons which sow their seed, water their plants, or their tares rather, and the tares grow, and they cause us problems. And they really confuse us and, so to speak, really mess up our minds, so that we're not thinking clearly, and so that we fall into this horrible passion of indifference to the things of God. And this is what happened to St. Mary in her younger years. She left home when she was 12, and she started living a horrible life with no conscience pangs. And she herself admitted to St. Sosimas that she even did it without asking for money, giving into her sinful ways. She said there wasn't any type of sin that she didn't commit. And our Lord tried to pull her out of her sin, because our Lord, who knows all things, knows also the repentance. And some of the greatest sinners have become some of the greatest saints, like St. Mary of Egypt. So with evil desire, she went on the boat towards the Holy Land, because she saw, she was tempted by the young men who were going towards this direction. And they were going with good intentions to worship the life-giving cross, the tree of the cross. So St. Mary, as we know, embarked upon this journey. She went on the boat, and she sinned greatly. There's a beautiful petition which we which we say every time we read the prayers of the hours and a compline. Purify our intentions. Because oftentimes people do not start off with the best of intentions, but in time, intentions become purified. And so she embarked upon this journey with very bad intentions. And finally, as she was following the crowd, she went towards the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and she could not enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And this was her chance. This was the time for her return. She could have ignored it. She could have ignored the fact that she was not able to enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But she did not. God oftentimes gives all of us chances to wake up. He gives us the wake-up calls. And as I've said many times, when we come to church, it's like the alarm goes off and tries to wake us up out of the stupor of the world, because we become so distracted by the ways of the world. And now here we are in church, and if we face ourselves, and if we face God, then we will have some conscience pangs. And that's good. It's not bad. Sometimes people don't want to deal with their conscience pangs. Sometimes people don't want to deal with their conscience, so they run away. But we have to deal with our conscience, because our conscience is there to censure us. And so the conscience of St. Mary was severely and seriously censured. It was the call of God. It was the time, as I've often said, that will make you or break you. And it made her. She responded to God's call for return. And she looked up, and she saw the icon of the Mother of God. And she was pricked in heart. Then slowly she started realizing the reason why she could not enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. We've heard many of the members of the community how I recall in 1994 when I met somebody on the Holy Mountain of Athos, who was a layperson and a chanter, who experienced the same thing. He went to the Holy Land for the feast of Pascha, for the Holy Fire. He had fallen into certain sins and he was not able to enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And it took him a while to figure out why he couldn't enter. Finally, St. Mary, looking up to the icon of the Mother of God, received the rays of light which came from the Mother of God through her holy icon. And then she repented. One of the most beautiful things a Christian can experience is when he's pricked in heart and when he experiences deep repentance. When he enters into himself, when he falls down on his knees, when he looks at the icon of the Mother of God, when he looks at the icon of Christ, this is the time when we can redeem ourselves. Because no one is sinless. And we fool ourselves into thinking that we are sinless if we think so. And if we're not looking at our sins, somehow we see the faults of the others. Somehow we see the faults, whether real or imaginary, in the others, in our neighbor. So St. Mary then was broken in heart, and she wept bitterly, like St. Peter, the apostle, who had denied our Lord. And he responded also to his wake-up call, literally, the cock crowing. But Judas, as we hear, as we will hear in the Matin service of Holy Friday, did not wish to pay heed. O the paranomos Judas, the lawless Judas, uki volithis niene, did not wish to pay heed. Like the demons, any rational, normal human being would be shocked to think that a person will willingly give himself up to torments. But this is what happens with the demons. The demons know that eternal torment awaits them. The demons know that they will be burned in the everlasting fire. But they will not bow the knee to our Lord. they will not repent because they become so hardened, it's impossible for them. They are so proud that they are not able to bow the knee. And in their pride and arrogance, what do? They blame God for their fault. And this happens to human beings. Because when the demon enters into the heart of a human being, he becomes so deluded, he wants to find fault with everyone and everything but himself. And this is the path to destruction. But it is not so with the Christians. We follow the example of St. Peter. We see, however, that the apostles, the disciples of our Lord, themselves were also confused, like in today's gospel. When our Lord was asked by the two brothers, can we sit, grant us a request to sit one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory, not knowing and not understanding things from a spiritual point of view, not understanding exactly what the message of our Lord was, not understanding what our Lord came for, not understanding the holy prophets and what the prophecies mean by the King of Glory and the Lord entering into his glory and so on and so forth, that this is all in reference to the heavenly kingdom and to his glory. It is not earthly, but because we are fallen and because our minds have not been purified, we think in a worldly manner. And so this is why we have the results of our adiaphoria, of our indifference to these holy things. How do we enter into the Lord's glory? By picking up our cross, by following him. How do we pick up our cross? By patiently enduring all that, all the afflictions which our Lord sends our way. And St. Mary's repentance was so deep that she didn't just sit in front of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and weep deeply and leave it at that. Because once she wept over her sins, repentance returned to her. But she decided to follow the preaching of the Holy Baptist and Father and John and show forth fruits of repentance. It's not as if she gave herself some type of an epithemium to fast, for example, Fridays and Wednesdays, and perhaps Mondays, and perhaps to the Enatiora, the ninth hour. She went into the desert. She hadn't seen a human being for decades, for many years. And this was the fruit of her repentance. So her repentance was not only accepted, but she was crowned with crowns of glory. These are the types that sit at the right hand and on the left hand of our Lord. These are the ones who make supplication unto the Lord for us. We end now this period of Great Lent, this last Sunday of Great Lent, with this example. With this living example of one who was par excellence the example of repentance. And we continue, and we need to continue on the ways of repentance. Or perhaps we should still tell ourselves we need to embark upon the road of repentance. Many of the Holy Fathers, even in their last years, would say, I still have not begun the work of repentance. And if we take a look and compare ourselves with St. Mary of Egypt, we have a long way to go. First of all, our faith is too weak. Her faith was so strong that she was able to do such a thing. If we love, and if we have faith, we are willing to do anything for the one we love. Therefore, we must love our Lord with all our heart, with all our being, with all our strength, with all our mind, with everything that we have. And in this can we find strength. But we must follow his commandments. We must follow the teachings of the fathers. And we will see truly then our Lord in front of us. We will see him in our lives. We will understand his presence. we will know that he dwells in us, and we will know that he is near us. Remember St. Patrick. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ within me, Christ everywhere, Christ surrounding me. And this is how the Christian should be. He should be filled with our Lord. He should be filled with our Christ. And he needs to come to the point where he realizes that we are very distracted by all these things of this world. And at the end, there is only one thing that will remain. All these things that we have prepared for ourselves, all these things that we have, our possessions in this world, mean nothing to us. The only thing that we can take with us to the next life is our soul and the virtues and the passions. Rabbi Dorothea says that the passions remain if the soul is not forgiven and if the soul is sent to torment. The passions will torment him unto eternity. Are we still indifferent? Do we remain indifferent hearing these things from our Lord? Let us not be indifferent. Let us become more sensitive to the things of God. Let us look within ourselves and blame ourselves for our own problems. And let us beseech our Lord to open the gates of repentance unto us, even if we have not understood the purpose of Great Lent. Perhaps now at the 11th hour, we can come back to our Lord. Let us take advantage of those things which God sends us for our correction. As we said, those are the things that will make us or break us. Those are the things that will make us or break us. Then we will be able to become mature citizens of heaven, in full stature of Jesus Christ, rather than deceived ones. The danger is real, but the way is simple. Just do it. Just follow what our Lord tells us, and we will find rest for our souls. Let us be honest to ourselves and to our confessor in confession and to our Lord, so that we will be able to find rest with all the saints. The last thing we should mention is that in the services this week, starting last night, for some reason, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man is mentioned. Lazarus was the beggar, the rich man was the one who was living sumptuously, who had all the delights in his life, but he did not have Christ. And the poor man who was suffering, who had tried to eat from the crumbs of the table of Lazarus, was the one who was saved. It's the one who is with Christ, the one who lives who rests in the bosom of Abraham. We hear this so that we can refocus ourselves, so that we can understand what we are doing, why have we fasted all this time, and where does this journey lead us to? On Friday, this Friday, we will end Tim Sikho Felin, Kliros in the Stesara Kosti, having completed the soul prophet in Great Lent. Now let us go to Bethany, let us see Lazarus. This is what we hear in the hymnology of the church. And let us cry Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Pray, beloved, from now that God will deem us worthy to repent. And that God will deem us worthy to pick up our cross and follow him, to come to the Holy Week of the Passion of our Lord. There is no other way that we can pick up our cross except by means of repentance, by means of calling out to our Savior, by means of having a crushed heart. And in this way, we will be able to make the connection and the parallels that we need to make between our life and our Lord's life, if we truly pick up our cross and if we become Christ-like and followers of him. And we will then be citizens of the heavenly kingdom. May God grant to all of us to reach the Holy Week and Holy Friday, the Passion of our Lord, so that we will be able to chant in the night of the resurrection, angels in the heavens, O Christ Savior, praise the resurrection with hymns. Deem us also who are on earth worthy to glorify thee with a pure heart. Amen.